Now, a guy who's willing to take down Berkman Plaza with his bare hands, J.P. Shadriff.
At this point, it might be all it takes to get that thing down. Welcome in. It's Jaguars Happy Hour. My name's J.P. Shadriff. We have a busy couple hours in store on this Monday afternoon, as we usually do. Coming up, we'll hear from Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer. Pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli. They'll join us here in just a few moments. We'll recap Week 10. The Colts over the Jaguars 23-17. And the Jags had the ball in their hands down six with two timeouts and a two-minute warning with about 2:15 to play and could not get it done. Offensive issues remain. The defense slowed down the Colts after an early surge. The special teams had some issues. We'll get to social media questions, a ton of those today. We'll go around the NFL. Here's some radio calls from around the league. Let's touch on yesterday's game, the Colts over the Jaguars, 23-17. We mentioned the Jaguars' offense struggling again. They had 6-3 and outs in 8 first-half possessions. They had a touchdown, a long run by Jamal Agnew of 66 yards, and then they had a field goal right at the final gun of the first half. Other than that, 3 and outs, all first half long. The defense gave up 10 early points and then only 2 field goals in the final 10 possessions of the game. They stood up and played well against the Colts. The special teams had issues. A blocked punt, a missed extra point, a missed field goal. After the game, head coach Urban Meyer proud of the team's second half fight.
I just said on the radio that, you know, culturally, you know, I'm a big believer in culture. I'm a big believer in leadership. I always have been, alignment, everybody working together. And enough with the almost. When we figure that out, that's when you win. And I like what was said. I didn't say much after the game. Some players did, and we'll see how we show up next week against San Francisco in front of our home crowd. But I hate to say this because I usually try not to when you lose, but that second half, boy, they on the road against a very good team, they played their tails off, man. And it wasn't pretty, but they could have sucked their thumb and left after the second quarter like you see some teams do. They didn't do that. So I hate to use the word proud, but I am.
We'll hear more about the defensive performance coming up in just a little bit. But on offense, as we mentioned, the struggle throughout most of the day. Trevor Lawrence finished 16 of 35 passing, 162 yards. And there were some issues, obviously, throughout the afternoon. Trevor Lawrence talking through it postgame.
Like I said, I'm hard on myself, and I expect to play really well every game and put us in a position to win. And just a lot of reasons offensively, we just didn't play great today. I thought we picked it up a little bit at the end of the third, mostly in the fourth quarter. But we just got to play better, and that starts with me. And so I'm hard on myself and got to get better. But I mean, yeah, there's going to be things you got to go through and stay positive. That's what I'm doing right now. And, you know, the locker room is in, you know, good spirits. Obviously, we're pissed off. We, you know, had a chance to win that game, should have won that game and didn't. So, but, you know, locker room's good and, you know, I'm good. Just got to, you know, let it simmer for a day and then move on. And we got to go play San Francisco. So.
Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli join us now on Jaguars Happy Hour as the Jaguars try to get back on track next week. San Francisco coming in. We're rehashing this game against the Colts. And a good afternoon, gentlemen. Pete, what's up, man?
What is up? How are you, JP?
We're hanging in there.
I feel sorry for that kid because he has no receiver help. I mean, it's just amazing how little he gets from his receiver position. And look, he's got to hold on to the football in the pocket. That was a bad play. But again, they get no help from the receivers. The design of the offense doesn't help him at all. I'm going to go back to a play. Antonio will probably agree with me on this, but the Arnold play to get him down to the the 2 before they scored, right before they scored a touchdown.
Get a nice little slant.
They picked. It was a great design. It was a design pick. They don't do enough of that. It was an easy pick to catch.
They're not in the red zone very often, so it's hard to. But that's a tight red zone play. That's a tight red zone.
I get it, but you can use those outside in the field too.
I don't disagree, but he also misses stuff. I mean, he missed a touchdown. This is Chenault that put him in the backfield. They had the wheel route, and he is running wide open down the sideline. He doesn't throw it.
No, he missed that. And Agnew dropped a pass I thought he should have, or two I think he should have caught.
Well, the deep one is a big play.
Yeah, there's no consistency to their passing game at all. And I thought the offensive line actually protected him pretty well. Watching the tape, I thought they did okay.
Well, the way I say it, Pete, is this, is that when you only score 33 points in three games in the NFL today, then it's not just any one position. You're across the board not playing well. And that, by the way, includes Trevor Lawrence. I don't think he's playing very well the last couple weeks. I don't think he's very accurate. I think he misses some guys. I was so impressed with him in the pocket. Even on that fumble, I thought he started like getting out of the pocket before he had to, instead of just kind of shuffling up like he's had in the past and looking down the field. So, you know, it is the in vogue thing to blame the wide receivers. And I'm not saying they're playing well. I'm not saying they're dynamic. But I'm not sure. I mean, Trevor Lawrence isn't playing very good football either right now.
Well, it's hard to play good football when you don't have anybody open.
Yeah, but Pete, that's – I mean, go watch the tape. I disagree with that. When they play man, it's always tight windows when it's man. You have to throw people open. You have to lead them. And by the way, he had a deep out that was open. He missed.
The one – was that to Marvin Jones? Is that one?
Yes. He just flat missed it.
He skipped it. Yeah, he skipped it. He's got to hit that. He also threw a back shoulder throw to Marvin Jones that was a great throw. I mean, there are moments where you look at it and you go, yeah, but there are so many – I just think there's so much at play here. Scheme, development, receivers don't run. They're slow. And I think he starts pressing a little bit when it gets into that because, again, it's easy. And I've actually heard people – and you guys live there. Were there people actually talking about benching him and going to the backup quarterback? I saw that on Twitter. How stupid is that?
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I refuse to enter into dumb conversations. Yeah. And that's a dumb conversation if you think that, like, in any universe, benching Trevor Lawrence at this point is a smart move. Like,
poorly enough to even warrant a bench if he was a veteran quarterback, let alone a rookie quarterback. Give me a break. I mean, look. He's not playing up to the standards that I thought he would play to, but there are a lot of circumstances at play here. Anybody who's ready to bench him or sit him down or blame him is being misguided.
A couple instances it felt like he was double clutching a little bit, you know. I don't know what that was about. If you went back and watched it, Tony, Pete, I mean.
I think he's hesitant.
Yeah.
I don't think he's trusting what he's seeing, if you're asking me.
I don't think he's trusting his receivers.
That's part of trusting what you're seeing, Pete.
Well, what is he seeing? He's seeing guys blanketed. And when they're not blanketed, I think he's so surprised that sometimes he misfires.
Well, I think you're giving him too much of a pass, in my opinion.
Go through the plays that he made bad throws on Sunday. You can go through all of them. He missed Chenault.
But it's not just he missed it. It was a terrible short yardage. If he just puts it on him, it's a first down. He had a deep out to Marvin Jones. He had another back shoulder to Marvin Jones. He missed both those. He was rushed, and you can argue there's pressure to Dan Arley through it early. So that's those. And then
how many drops were there? Three or four?
Yeah. At least. But Pete, you and I are seeing. I'm saying the same thing. I don't think it's all him.
No, I don't think it's all him either. I think it's a combination of bad receivers, bad scheme. His confidence looks like he's getting a little. I would agree with you on that. He's not the same confident guy he was 3 weeks ago. I think his confidence is starting to get a little wane a little bit, and he's getting jumpy. Tony, you're right. If you go back and watch the tape, the last play where he lost the ball, he looks like he might have Agnew up the field if he would throw
it. Just take a deep breath, slow everything down. It looked like, and like a couple times, like even on those spot routes, like hit your fifth step, let it go, pick up, go. And I just think he's a little bit, he's not as decisive.
That's good.
As he's been. I'm not like, and people are like, are you worried? I'm like, no, I'm not worried. Worried about him? No. Like the least of my worries. But I also cannot worry about a guy and say a guy's not playing well, and I don't think he's playing very well right now.
No, he's not playing well, but there are so many circumstances at play that first and foremost, the design of the offense stinks. I mean, I just put that out there. I hate it.
Well, we know that, Pete.
Hate's a strong word. Sure,
I'll say it again. I hate it.
Wow. That's a strong word, Pete. That's why you brought it out.
I mean, when you watch the tape, you come away from the tape looking at the offensive line. I thought, for the most part, they were pretty solid on Sunday. Wouldn't you agree?
I said the same thing this morning. And Jeff Prosser was yelling at me saying how bad the offensive line is. I'm like, are you watching the same thing like I'm watching?
When you watch the tape, I thought they did a pretty good job on Sunday. Now, there were some – Norwell probably had the most struggles in pass protection.
He's playing DeForest Buckner. He's pretty dang good.
Right. Well, he's supposed to be pretty dang good, too. He makes a lot of money.
I understand that, but you sometimes are like, it's not going to go your way every play.
Did you watch the tape of the offensive lineman? I'm sure you did already. And you watched the game.
Not in entirety yet.
But – if you did, you would say that Norwell, the guys, had the roughest go of it. That
sure.
One,
I
think. Yeah.
I don't disagree.
Tony's right. Ben Bartsch is getting better. I thought Shatley's a fighter, man. Shatley will fight you. He's not the most physical gifted guy. He's fine. And Juwan Taylor, Cam had his best game. He had maybe his best game. He's getting better and better. The right tackle.
Quiddy's not the most dangerous pass rusher in the history of the mankind either.
And the right tackle was better than he's been.
Yeah, I don't think Trevor didn't look comfortable and decisive. That's the best way I can put it.
That's perfect. Not comfortable, decisive is actually a good description for it.
Yeah. Then it doesn't help matters when the running back is obviously not 100% out there trying to run around. James Robinson, they gave it a go early, said green light, let's play. And then it felt like he was better as the game went along, but early, just didn't look right with James. What do you think?
Yeah, Dave? Once he got going a little bit, he was fine. I mean, he popped a couple of runs. I didn't think he was that much different than what he's been.
The reality is, I mean, I don't think he was 100%. I think you're better when he is 100%. The reality is you have to get something outside. Like, you have to get I'm not blaming everything on the receivers. But how about a catch and take it to the house? How about a catch in a 20-yard run? Like, how about something a little bit, extra? And so because the game becomes easier. And that's just something we're not seeing right now, and it's going to be hard.
Wait, hey, when was the last time somebody caught a slant and went 55?
Can't remember.
Right. LaVisca Chenault did it earlier in the year, right? He caught one to the left side, broke a tackle, and then ran, 60 yards, didn't he? Earlier in the season.
So, I guess here's the other thing. If you're Trevor Lawrence and you drop back, where are you going where you're like, okay, this guy's going to be open 80% of the time? Where's that comfort?
The only comfort guy is Arnold.
Dan Arnold's the guy right now. That's right.
That's it. That's the comfort.
He's the leading target. He's a leading receiver. He's a leading yardage receiver since he's arrived here.
You would think that because of the speed, Agnew would be that guy, but he's dropped balls, and you could just tell that he's struggling in his own mind a little bit, it looks like. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think he struggles with the deep ball. I think he's fine with the crossers and the short stuff. I think he struggles with the deep ball.
Yeah, and that's something you got to learn as a receiver.
Sure.
You got to track the ball.
I'm not even being critical of him. I just think that's a part of the development. I mean, he was a DB 2 years ago.
Right. What did LaVisca have, his usual 3 for 15 yesterday? Isn't that what it was?
3 for 15 on 8 targets.
Yeah, I mean, does he get anything? I mean, okay, he had the wheel route out of the backfield, but I was like, does he have anything down the field for him, or medium cross, or skinny posts or crosses or anything in the middle of the field? That's another thing. On their, a lot of their plays, everything is outside. It's like, get something in the middle of the field sometimes.
Well, the other thing that just, I mean, it's just so interesting this year, if you look at it, during training camp, everything was about, you know, Visca is going to be a big part of this offense. How we give him the ball, we're going to use him in different ways. He's a weapon. We just have not seen that developed at all.
He had a, I thought, watching the tape, that I thought that when he ran the ball, the one play out of the backfield, the one play, it looked like he was going to pop that for about 20 yards, but the receiver, and I think it was Treadwell, one of those, or Marvin Jones, didn't block the end of the line defensive back, and he came down the line and kind of tripped them up a little bit. Do you remember that play? It looked like, yeah, he was popping through.
I thought the first run he had, the outside zone, if he plants it and cuts back to the inside, there's a huge hole.
That's, yeah, it was.
Like on the booth, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he, and that's because you're not a running back.
Right. Has he really been able to see that before? We've got plenty ahead on offense. We'll come back, though, and touch on the defensive performance. After an early surge by the Colts in the first quarter, the Jaguars defense played big yesterday. And of course, in the second hour, we'll have your social media questions. We'll go around the National Football League. We're just getting started. It is Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network.
Jacksonville Sports Talk for Jacksonville sports fans. 1010 XL, home of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I feel like we did well on defense. Don't get me wrong. Definitely had some missed opportunities and included in my play. But I feel like we did really well. We turned things around. I feel like the main conversation we had going into halftime is getting back to our ball. I feel like first half, you go back to the last game, we were a very energetic, you know, defense, talking, you know, communicating, having fun with it, enjoying it. And my main thing was getting everybody to calm back down, you know. So going into that third quarter, you can see everybody starting to lighten up a little bit, enjoy this game, talk a little bit more, communicate a little bit more, and start to change things around. So we just got to utilize that and keep that, you know, and going into each game, each quarter, that continue to play our ball, focus on the defense.
That's Shaquille Griffin, Jaguars cornerback, and it's Jaguars Happy Hour. J.P. Shadrick, along with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli, we recap the Week 10 loss for the Jaguars to the Indianapolis Colts. 23-17, the final score at Lucas Oil Stadium. We talked a lot of offense earlier, but the defense was a positive in yesterday's game. Now, in the first quarter, you thought, oh my goodness, this thing could get out of hand. It was 17-0. There was a field goal. There was a blocked punt, which we'll get to a little bit later. That was returned for a touchdown. And then Jonathan Taylor capped off an 8-play drive with a 4-yard touchdown score. And in the first quarter, Taylor had 93 yards rushing. And the Jaguars' defense seemed to be reeling. But then they put together three consecutive 3-and-outs on defense after Agnew scored the touchdown for the Jaguars, make it 17-6. And the rest of the day, Tony, they gave up 2 field goals in the final 10 possessions for Indy and gave this team at least a chance. If anything would have happened on the other side beyond what happened, they might have won the game.
I mean, they gave up 16 points, if you look at it, to a team that's averaging over the last 4 games over 30 and 26 on the year. I mean, they were outstanding. And everyone goes, what happened those first 2 drives? Well, you see a lot of times in games where, you know, the offense comes out, they get hot, and it takes a little bit of time for the defense to settle in. And I thought they got a little bit outmanned early. They're running zone, and the combination blocks on the backside, they're getting the linebackers getting good movements on the 3 techniques. And then after the first couple drives, I thought they were much more physical and did a better job in allowing those, you know, linebackers to run backside. They closed that, you know, backside C gap down better, more aggressively, you know, taking that away. So there wasn't a cutback there. So I just thought the defense, I'm not sure, you know, what else you can ask for. I mean, I guess not giving up that one touchdown drive, but, you know, it was, they gave up 16 points, and the Jags, you know, have allowed a punt block. So that's 23, and make it 24, and I guess with the 2-point conversion. Give it 24 with the extra point, and they just can't, you know, the Jaguars offense hasn't scored 24 points this year.
Nope.
They have a high watermark of 23.
If you know, the first opening drive, they pushed him around a little bit, I thought.
And, first two drive beats.
It was Hamilton on the field to start. I don't think he was on the field to start early in that game. And, they put him in there, and I think they realized he should be on the field for the run defense.
I don't know. I thought Malcolm Brown was on there the first couple drives, and then he played great in the second half too.
Yeah, he played. Malcolm Brown played well. Taven Bryant made some plays.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I don't think it was anything about changing personnel or anything. I just think sometimes early in a game, offense gets in a rhythm. They get it going. You're playing on your heels a little bit. You just got to get, you know, get your sorts about you, and you go about playing. And I think they did that. They did a good job.
You know what's interesting about the defense is, like, even – I thought Tyson Campbell's getting better. He's getting better. That's a good sign. You know, the way they use Rudy Ford helps them. And I think, you know, like you mentioned it, Tony, all year we've been waiting for those down guys as a group to start playing. In the last 2 weeks, they've played much better. And I think that's one of the biggest difference. Josh Allen looks so much quicker and more explosive than he was early in the season, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's playing good football all around.
And Chaseon made a tackle yesterday in the pass on third down. Remember? In the flat?
Yeah. It's great.
But they still need that other guy.
Like,
well,
who?
The last two weeks they played really good defense, Pete.
I think Joe Cohen's done some really good things too to get guys freed.
Yeah, they've given up 22 points defensively the last two games.
Yeah. I mean, but again, I think he's scheming up some things to get guys free to the quarterback, and I think he's done a really good job. And you're seeing more of that around the league.
And I think they play hard defensively.
They do play hard. They have to be encouraged about that group. You know, you still need the pass rusher, another one. But I think going forward, that has to give you some hope on that side of the ball.
Yeah, remember coming
definitely
in,
progress.
Yeah, and you know the Jags have been pretty good against the run this year. In fact, they were top five in yards per carry allowed. But Taylor came in and was among the best in the league in that department. And after that first quarter, they just shut it down altogether.
What did he have on that one run? Was what 40?
34. 34
like
on the first play.
Yeah, I mean that. So you
know, it was a big play that game that no one will talk about. Second quarter, third or fourth possession, the Colts have it. They run toss crack. He goes like for 40, and they gets called back on
holding.
A questionable holding call. Yeah. And if you look at the tape, it's a not. I mean, it's like, how do you call holding? That's one of those plays that if they don't call holding there, and the Colts get that plus 40, do they just keep on rolling?
Right.
And that put them behind the chains. They go three and out.
Yep.
And everything from that point, the Colts never really had another good run for the rest of the game. It's just interesting, you know, sometimes how those plays, like, what if they don't throw the flag there? It was a questionable one anyways. Probably didn't have anything to do with the success of the run. But they do throw it, so it sets them back. It gets you three and out. And all of a sudden, like, something changes. I think those are such interesting moments in a ball game, and that one worked out for the Jags.
Yeah, that.
By the way, while we're talking about defense, and I know we've talked about offense and defense already, but we've glossed over something here before the show even started.
Oh gosh, what?
Didn't our fellow over here lock the game last week?
I think he did. I mean, we can run back the tape if you want. I don't. You know,
I mean, did you think we were going to forget about that, Pacelli?
Come on. In 2 hours? Of course not.
We're not forgetting.
I was right. They were 10-point dogs. They lost by three.
No, you didn't lock that. You locked the win.
What are you talking about? It's about points, baby. I locked it.
No. JP? What did he lock?
No, yeah, he locked a straight-up win, and that didn't happen.
I said it would be close, and you said they would win. So I won, you lost.
If you find tape that said where I said win.
I don't know. You didn't say win. You locked it that they would. Yes, you did.
I said.
They have a victory.
I said take the Jags, lock it, and victory. Yeah, there was a victory. If you took the Jags in points,
he's
giving betting advice.
Don't lock. People are already on. I saw somebody on Twitter saying, "Please don't allow him to lock anything anymore."
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, we'll come back in a moment. A little more offensive talk. We got to get on special teams too. They had some issues in the game yesterday. I don't know what that was, but I think that was him reacting to special teams, which. About right in some instances yesterday. Of course, check out the official Jaguars Podcast Network. It's free on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and give us that 5-star rating as always. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network.
The station that the Jaguars listen to, 1010XL. Home of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
We have a lot of belief right now in that locker room, and you know I'm pretty hard on myself. And when you have the chance to win the game, and you fumble on the last drive, especially when you have a great drive going, and we had all the belief on the sideline, like that just stings when you know you end the game that way. And I'm disappointed in myself, frustrated, but I know how far we've come. And I mean, you look back compared to the first couple weeks of the season, it's night and day of where we're at. And we got a locker room full of guys, you know, coaches and players that believe, and we're on the right track. But this one hurts just because I'm frustrated in myself. Had a chance to go win the game and got to do that, and I had no doubt we were going to win the game. The whole offense believed it, and just got to finish.
That's Trevor Lawrence, Jaguars quarterback, of course, after the loss in Indianapolis yesterday. And welcome back, it's Jaguars Happy Hour. JP Shadrick with CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco and. Pride of the Jaguars left tackle Tony Boselli. Got to finish, Pete. Got to finish. They had it set up. They had the ball. They had just over 2 minutes. They had the two-minute warning, two timeouts, and gave it up.
Yeah, okay. He said they believed. I guarantee you, if you put most of the fans on a lie detector, they wouldn't have believed. Not the way that offense has been playing all year. I mean, you would like to think that that would have happened, but were you encouraged that they would go down and get points?
I mean,
are you asking me?
I mean,
either one of you.
I mean, that's how you have it set up. They had not proven that all day, at least consistently, but they had scored earlier. They had a 10-play drive earlier in the half. It's not like they had not moved the ball at all, you know?
No, I get it.
I would say this. I would say it was a coin flip for me because the way the game was going, like you could see the Jags winning that just because they had all momentum and they had really – you know, won the last three quarters of that football game. So, at the same time, the Jags scoring points and putting a long drive together, it was like low percentage based on the last 3 weeks of football we've seen. So, I get what you're saying, Pete, but I got to admit, it did have that feel. I'm like, here they come. They're going to find a way to win this thing. The Colts are going to mess it up. It just felt like one of those games.
Yeah, I felt it a little bit, but I in the back of your head, you know, there's not going to be any chunk plays.
So well, that's the problem.
Right.
Well, they were there's chipping no away plays. On that drive, right? I mean, they had short plays to kind of get where they got on the last drive.
Yeah, but Pete's point, JP, it's hard to score consistently without chunk plays.
I'm with you.
When you don't get chunk plays, things go wrong, and that's what – something went wrong. You fumbled. Mm-hmm. Things go wrong when you don't get chunk plays.
How many plays on Sunday did they have of over 20 yards? Passes over 20, runs over 12.
Stand by.
Well, you had the Agnew touchdown one. You had a couple.
Okay, 66.
Yeah, 66, so that's one. I've got them right here. Agnew, left in 66-yard touchdown run. A 24-yarder, Lawrence deep right to Dan Arnold, 24 yards. That was in the second quarter. A 23-yarder, Lawrence to Marvin Jones in the fourth quarter.
Back shoulder. That's the back shoulder.
23-yarder, that was a penalty, defensive holding. It was a left-in run by James Robinson of 18 yards in the fourth quarter. That's it.
So three 20-plus? Four or three? Four.
Four. Four. Of 20-plus.
Yeah. You got to have more than that.
It's average. At best, probably below average.
And when you really look at it, the back shoulder to Marvin Jones was a great play by Marvin Jones. It's not like he was open or anything.
I wonder what the average, JP, you might have this. What's the average, you know, big play for a team in a given game? Like, what's the average? It's like seven 20, big plays.
20 plus or more?
Well, I think the way they actually do it is it's if you, it, to be considered a big play, and every team uses a little bit different metrics. I don't want to say right. 12-yard run and like a 16-plus-yard pass. Yeah. Is considered a big play, or maybe it's 18 yards.
That's a good question. I know that, you know, the stats.com people go 25-yard passes and 10-yard runs. And by
whatever it is, just pick one.
Yeah, I'll say this. The Jaguars have 12 plays of 25 yards or more in the air this year, and that is tied for 27th in the NFL.
I don't know what
that is per game. It's not good. The most Arizona has the most at 28.
Well, it's hard to get plays over 25 yards when you have like a brick wall at 20 you can't get through. how the hell you can't run through a brick wall? You can't get those plays. There's like a force field there. If you go past 20 yards, they just stop.
But I mean, we're not very explosive. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, you're being kind. That's what he's trying to say.
That might be the nicest thing Baselli's ever said.
Hey, let's go to special teams, because I mean, offense did not play great again.
Yeah.
And yes, chunk yardage is a problem. Yes, Trevor Lawrence needs to be played better. Yes, you need weapons. All that stuff. Like the offensive line, I agree with Pete watching the tape, played, you know, fine. But you have a lack of playmaker issue. And you're not addressing that this year. So how do you score points? Because you did have the ball at the end with a chance to win it, if you go make a couple plays. And it would be nice if you could go hit stuff down the field. And there was a couple – I thought that deep end route to, you know, it was – I mean, deep end, it was like third and 13, third and 12. The Treadwell was a nice play. I mean, you just need more big play, like more chunk yardage to work down the field. It just seems like it's such torture, you know, the check down just to find a way – you know, to hopefully get down there and score some points.
So what
it's
happened?
Laborious.
What's that, Pete?
It's laborious.
Digging deep in the thesaurus tonight. I like that. So what happened on the blocked punt? Urban said today it was a missed assignment. What'd you see on tape today, Tony?
Bad count, bad missed assignment. I think it was Chappelle. He's 49, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we got three to that side. It's three for three. It's not hard. His guy loops to the inside. The guy on the guard inside of him switches off to go take the guy inside, and Chappelle just keeps on working to the outside. I'm like, it's a man protection. You just got the guy that's looped inside. Switch it off. That should never happen. That was just – it was a bad play, M.A.
I mean, he took it off his leg. I mean, you don't see that a lot in the NFL. He took it off his leg.
Because he was like unimpeded. He just unimpeded. Just went.
It's amazing. And then, admit it, you guys were cutting the kicker at one point.
No. I mean, he missed an extra point. Okay. So he missed a 51-yarder. It's long. I don't know about that.
So the missed extra point. Well, let me give you my overall summary of the kicker. One, he should not be kicking off. He can't get it to the end zone. Get Logan Cook out there who booms it in the end zone, because they got some good returns, and you're playing with fire. Sooner or later, someone's taking to the house call, because not only does he kick it short, they're not very high sometimes. So that's my first thing. The kid completely surprised me with my making the 55-yarder. I mean, the first game of the year, he couldn't get it from 51.
Yeah.
And he just banged a 55-yarder, and that was good by 4 or 5 yards. Mm-hmm. Missed extra point, unexcusable. Like, Pete, if I would have told – let's say he made that extra point, okay? Let's just say he made it. And if I would have told you he would have gone 1 for 2 over 50 yesterday, you'd be like, okay, that's pretty good.
That's fine.
Over 50.
Right.
That's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But he missed the extra point. He missed the extra point.
I get that. But, like, let's call it what it is. It's not missing the field goal.
But then last week he missed 3 of them in one play.
One.
So there's concern there. Concerns there.
Right.
There are concerns there. And the kickoff, you're accurate.
The guy's been nailed from 50-plus all year. Like, come on.
You missed the extra point, JP.
I know that.
I say it every. I sit there in front of these. I got 9 games on at once. I'm sitting there. All these kickers. It's your job. Just make your damn kick. It's your job. You kick all day in practice. That's all you do. Make your damn kicks. And, you know, I send that out and people get mad at me. And Josh Scobie, to his credit, said, you know what, Pete? You're right. Make the damn kicks.
He's missed 2 out of 9, okay? He's missed 2 out of 9 extra points he's kicked. Just saying.
That's not good. That's not
good. I know it's not good. I'm just telling you the stats. I'm just whatever.
Actually, JP, that's terrible. Like, you shouldn't have said that. Like, you're killing my whole argument.
I'm just telling you what the numbers say. Whatever.
I'm just telling you.
The way you said it, JP, like, oh, he only missed 2 of 9. I mean, the way you, like, he missed 2 of 99.
He missed 9 of 9, I guess, you know, in theory. No.
JP, that's no.
Look, there's some questions about him as a kicker. He's made some kicks. We got to give him credit for his kicks. But Tony made a good point about the kickoffs. He can't kick off.
Or, you know, maybe, you know, get some first downs on offense to get it closer for him. I don't know. Like, how about that?
No, we're talking about kickoff.
I know. Oh, yeah, no kickoff. Yeah, he shouldn't be kicking off. Yeah, you're right. With you on that.
Cook's got a big enough leg to get that through the back of the end zone, doesn't he, when he kicks off? Tony?
Yes, he kicks it. Yes. Cook's, Logan Cook can kick it all the way through the whole thing.
Yeah, why don't they just use him?
I don't know. There's certain things that I don't have answers to, Pete. That's one of them.
That's shocking. You have an answer for everything, Tony.
Well, I can give you my opinion, but I don't have an answer.
Pete has an answer for everything. That's for sure.
Well, I bet Joe DeCamillis would have an answer for us.
I'll take a timeout.
Did I really need to go there?
I think you did. It's time for a timeout. We're back with plenty more ahead. We'll look at the AFC South standings. You know what they are. We'll take a look anyway. And in the second hour coming up in just a little bit, we'll get to your social media questions and go around the NFL. This is Jaguars Happy Hour presented by Jet Home Loans on the Jaguars Digital Network.
MC and Fat Tony, Jaguars Today. All Jaguars, all NFL, all the time. 10 to noon weekdays on 1010XL.
Welcome back. It's Jaguars Happy Hour, and veterans choose VA for the benefits you've earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Jaguars Happy Hour, JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Vaselli. Recapping a Week 10 loss for the Jaguars that dropped them to 2-7. It was 23-17, the final score at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. The offense didn't play that well overall. The defense played pretty well, and the special teams had their blunders yesterday. So the AFC South standings, as you would probably expect, have not changed too much. The Tennessee Titans lead the way in the AFC South with another win. They're 8-2, undefeated in the division. Indy just can't gain any ground at all. 5-5, they're trying to sneak back into that wild card mix. There's a bunch of teams bunched up in the middle of the AFC right now. And maybe, just maybe, they can kind of hang around and see what the next month and a half brings. Jacksonville 2-7, Houston at 1-8. The only win for Houston, you guessed it, against the Jaguars, week one. They were off this week. The Texans had a bye. So, you know, Indy can't gain any ground, Pete, but do you think they can make a little surge and sniff around a wild card, or are they out of it?
No, in the AFC, everybody's in it.
That's
what I think. There's going to be a lot of teams sniffing around that last wild card.
Uh-oh, we lost Pete. We lost Pete. Yeah,
there's a lot of... one.
Pete, are you back with us?
Then where do the other? Where? Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we lost.
And then where do the other two come? Where do the other two come from?
We lost the first part of what you said.
If you think the Patriots are one, if you think the Patriots are one of the teams, where's the other one come from?
Hmm. So you got what? Pittsburgh.
The other two wild card teams.
Who are the?
Well, first of all, the Patriots.
Does Indy get in?
The Patriots.
Okay, either the Bills or the Patriots are one of the wild card teams. So then you got to get two other ones. Are the Colts going to get in?
I'm going to tell you right now. You want me to tell you the playoffs right now?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, this should be good.
This will be good. So, the this is tough. Tennessee in.
Buffalo. Well, we know the division. Let's go through the division winners. Do the division winners first. Okay. Buffalo or New England?
I'm going to say Buffalo.
Tennessee.
I'm going to say Buffalo, Tennessee. Okay. I'm going to say I think Kansas City is just too good offensively.
Right.
Kansas City. And I'm going to say Baltimore.
Okay, so there's your division winners. Now we are me and JP had already got to this part where we said either. So that means New England, one of the wild card teams. Who are the other two?
Pittsburgh.
I'm going to say New England. I'm going to say Pittsburgh, and I'm going to say
Chargers.
Yeah, are they out of the West? Is it Chargers or Vegas?
I'm going to say Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
So you have Colts not getting in then.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. But you have them as the so the AFC South is easy for the power rankings this week. It's just how the standings are.
Yeah, I thought for sure, and I was a drive away from flipping the whole thing.
Or. Your guarantee meant it wasn't happening, one or the other.
Dang it.
Didn't work out, unfortunately.
Did not.
How about the Titans?
Do you think before we get to the Titans, do you think that's a good Colts team?
I'm not, like, where's the pressure come on defense? Like, where's the pass rusher? Darius Leonard's a stud.
Secondary's okay.
They have no, like, tell me their receiving threat. Like, who's
none.
Scary as a receiver?
No.
Pittman.
None.
Like, if you had a good speed guy, Pittman would be a right. great, like.
Correct. He's a number two guy to a speed guy.
But there's no, like, T.Y.
They don't scare. They don't scare T.Y. down the field. No, they don't scare down the field at all. And the quarterback's just okay. The offensive line is, used to be good, but it right now, the way it's constructed, it isn't.
Well, I mean, I think it's okay, but Quentin Nelson's beat up. He's not moving very well.
Oh my God, he just doesn't look as physical and in pass protection on Sunday. He was awful. I mean, not awful, but awful for him. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, he wasn't dominant. Let's put that. Yeah, that's what I was.
He ducked his head a bunch, Tony. Is that when you get hurt? Is that something that happens?
Well, if you don't have confidence in your ability to anchor, that can't happen. I mean,
yeah.
You can start ducking a little bit and
I mean,
looking
around. In a million years, I never thought I'd utter this sentence. Taven Bryan made Quentin Nelson look like a B player on one play on Sunday.
Yeah, but you can't take one play.
But I mean, there wasn't just one play. There were other plays where guys made him look bad. But Taven Bryan did. Taven Bryan, I'm going to give him credit. He made some good plays on Sunday. That's two games in a row. I don't know. I mean, when you watch Quentin Nelson, you'll know what I'm talking about. He just doesn't look the same dominant guy that he used to be.
Who else was making plays on Quentin Nelson? Who else was going after him, Pete?
Oh, Roy Robertson Harris got him once.
Yeah,
I think
Malcolm Brown.
I think Goss has even got him once on one of those plays. So that it wasn't good. It wasn't a good, and they weren't sacks, but they led. Like the one I think Malcolm Brown got. Got a hand on him. Remember, he tried that stupid pass where he tried to push it. Wentz, why does he do that?
Yeah, exactly. Don't know idea.
So, not good.
Yeah, there you have it. So the defense had a good day. Offense leaving some things to be desired. Obviously, we talked about that week to week. And then special teams did not have their best day. They've had good days earlier in the season. Yesterday was not one of them, so the Jaguars.
JP, can I say something real quick?
Yes, Pete.
The defense is better as a unit than they are when you break them down individually. And I think that's a tribute to them as playing hard. It's also a tribute to the coaches on that side of the ball. Because when you pick them apart one by one, they're playing better than what they are as players. And they're playing above that, their talent, I think, individually. And that's a good sign. And you need that. You really do. So, I give the coaches on that side of the ball and the players on that side of the ball credit because they're much better as a group than they are individually, I think.
Where have they gotten better the most, you think, over the last few weeks? Where have they improved the most?
Well, I think the run defense has been good all year, but it's those guys up front are playing better, I think, even than they were. And well, I think Cole has done a lot of things to get them free up front in the pass rush, too. In recent
weeks. They're getting more pressure on the quarterback. That's for sure. There's no doubt about that. They're just the overall pressure is better, and I think they've simplified stuff in the back half, so you're not seeing guys run wide open. Like you're not seeing guys get beat mentally. And I think guys are playing faster because I think they're probably doing a little bit less when it comes to coverages on the back half.
And, you know, putting Rudy Ford in there and the way they use him has helped them a lot, too. I mean, he's not a straight line guy. He's a fast guy, but he's not – if you get wiggle on him, I think you're going to have problems. But they've covered that up with the way they use him, and I think it's been smart the way they've used him.
So all good steps for the Jags defense, and we've reached the end of hour number one. It has flown by here on Jaguars Happy Hour on this Monday. Still to come, I'll look back one more time at – week number 10, the loss to the Colts. We'll keep it real with Robert Mondavi. That's coming up. We'll get to your social media questions, and we'll go around the National Football League in week 10 and get some highlights from around the league. Jaguars fall in week 10 to the Indianapolis Colts. We are through 1 hour and 1 hour to go. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network.
Home of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That was awful. The first half, you know, that, accumulation of errors, and but they responded, they came back. The defense, you know, the one thing about that locker room, man, they fight for each other, they care about each other, but I saw what you saw. Out of sync is probably not a strong enough word or description of an offense. But then second half, you came down with the ball in your hand and a chance to go win it. So I'd rather focus on getting things fixed, but also focus on the relationship in the locker room we're dealing with right now.
That's head coach Urban Meyer after the loss yesterday at Indy, and welcome back. It's the second hour of Jaguars Happy Hour. Recapping the Jaguars' loss to the Indianapolis Colts 23-17 after an early flurry by the Colts' offense. The Jags' defense stood tall. That was the highlight yesterday. They only allowed 2 field goals in the final 10 possessions for Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor had 93 yards in the first quarter rushing, but only 23 yards after that point. The Jags' defense played pretty well. They allowed has now allowed the defense only 1 touchdown over the last 2 games span, of course, a 9-6 win last week. The Jags' offense, though, another story, another rough day. 6 of the first 7 drives were 3 and outs, including 3 straight in the second quarter that each started right around their own 40-yard line. Good field position, just wasted in certain points. And then special teams issues. A missed assignment on the left side of the line led to a blocked punt early and a 10-0 advantage. Later kicker Matthew Wright missed an extra point and a 51-yard field goal. And the Jags are now 2-7. They've got back-to-back home games coming up, guys. The 49ers and the Falcons. And then 2 difficult road trips to Los Angeles to face the Rams and Nashville to meet the Titans. That's the state of affairs today, Pete.
Yeah, and look, they're getting better. They're a better football team than they were even a month ago, and that's a good sign. They're still not a good football team by any stretch of the imagination, but they play hard on defense especially, and I think that carries over week by week, and that's why there has to be some encouragement in terms of where they are and what they're doing. I mean, the offense is limited. It's going to be limited. There's nothing changing that this year. Nothing. There will be
Pete, so you're basically at the halfway point now. I mean, you know, because we're just past it, because 17 games is hard to – the halfway point was at halftime against the Colts, so.
Right. You got it on your halfway to the season report at halftime.
So let's say we're at the halfway point right now. They're 2-7. 8 games left. starting 0-0, what's their record after these eight games?
Oh, goodness.
Like, how many? Well, no, I'm curious of how many they win of the eight, because I got asked that today.
Two.
And so I said, they said, how many teams, you know, I was asked today, how many games are the Jags going to win? And I said, you know, it's funny. Nothing has changed from what I said at the beginning of the season. At the beginning of the season, you know, in preseason, I said, I thought this team would win 4-6.
Whoa. Are you forgetting when you said, what did he say, JP? 11 or 12 11. At one point?
No, I said 11.
I said 14-3. It was a joke. 14-3.
Then you saw him play and you went, oh, wait a second. Let's amend that.
Uh-oh.
No, Pete, you know, in every serious conversation, I said 4-6. And someone asked me, he says, what do you think? They're playing better. How many games do you think they'll win? I said, I still think they're going to win 4-6. Like, I think they'll win at least two more, gives them four. But if you told me they went 5-5, I mean, not 5-5, if they went 500 at the end of the season, okay, because I could see them beating the 49ers. I can see them beating Atlanta. I can see them beating Houston in the last game of the year if the Colts are out of it. I can see them beating the Colts at home, which would be consistent with the last, you know, with the last 4 years playing the Colts, where the home teams won every game. So I could see them winning four, getting to six, and I could see them winning two. I don't see any. They're going to win at least two. I think the ceiling is four.
You think they're going to win? Okay, so go through the schedule.
Yeah, we'll do it right
you're,
here.
You're good at guaranteeing things.
I just told you the four I could see them winning.
Well, let's go straight down the schedule.
You got to give them four. You said you think they might win two or four or three. Which one? Pick one.
We're going to go right down the schedule, and you can pick them live right here, Tony, if you'd like. All right.
Here we go. I'll pick them with them.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Yeah, I'll do it. You do it with me. If Tony won't do it, I'll do it.
This week, San Francisco coming to town.
I think they win.
Yeah, we'll know tonight. After tonight. Okay. I'll give you a better idea after tonight.
All right. Next week, the Falcons are here.
Hold on. Back up. You're going to watch the 49ers play tonight.
Because I watched them on tape this week. I think they stink. So I think they can win that game.
Who do they play tonight?
The Rams. I want to see how they play the Rams.
But my point is, they're playing up in San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
So short week to go across the country. The 49ers aren't winning this game no matter what. The Jags will win this game.
And it's a
lock. There it is.
Is it a lock? Is it a lock?
No, but think about this, Pete. That's a bad job scheduling by the NFL. You can't give a team a Monday night game and then ask them to play across the country.
Well, they thought it was like an exhibition game when they came that way.
And it's a
bad scheduling. And they're not good, Tony. They're so banged up and they're not good. Yeah. They're bad. They lost McClinchy, the right tackle. Their offensive line is bad.
Okay, so I'm the Jags.
You know what? I might give them that win too.
Yeah, and it's a 1 o'clock kickoff time, 10 a.m. Pacific.
We'll give the Jaguars the win.
All right, and then the Falcons come to town, week 12.
I don't think they'll win that game, but they can. They can win that game.
I think they beat the Falcons too.
That's two. All right.
Tony's got him going on a 1996 like run.
He left them out of the wild card picture a moment ago, Tony.
And you know what? I saw somebody put up the wild card picture the other day, and they had the Jaguars still in it.
Mathematically.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. At the Rams.
Tonight.
The Titans.
No.
No.
Home against the Texans.
Yes.
At the Jets. Yes.
Yes.
At the Patriots, yes, because I locked.
When is that Jets game?
December 26th, day after Christmas.
Oh, they're going to be cold and miserable. They might not even win that one. No, I'm not going to give them that one.
At the Patriots.
No.
January 2nd, and then home against the Colts.
So 2-4.
It depends. It depends what the Colts are doing. If the Colts are in it, then no. If the Colts are out of it, then coin flip. Yeah, I got 2-4.
2-4.
2-4. That's what I said. That's what I just said, Pete. Wow. You're copying me.
I'm not copying you.
Yes, you are. You're a copycat.
If you had to pin yourself down, you'd say two. But you're being, they could win that one. They might win that one. They could win that one.
I'm going to lock it. Locking four wins.
Oh, God. Everybody in the building went, Urban's going to come in there and knock the door down and say, get Pacelli. Where's Pacelli? He's not in the studio, but get him the hell out of here.
Are you locking? You're locking four total for the season, or four more of those stretch runs?
Four, he said. They're gonna go 500 the rest of the way.
Just clarify. Right. Just make sure that we're clarified there. Yeah. Okay, so six total for the season.
So basically, you're saying the high end of your preseason prediction will be what they
are. That's right. That's exactly
right. And what was my preseason prediction?
You said 3-5.
Okay, and I think I'm gonna be right. You're gonna be wrong.
You think they win five?
They can win five, but I think they're going to win four. I think they're going to win two more.
Then we're both right, because I said 4-6.
All I know is that they're sweeping the AFC East still. I locked that one.
What if they don't win another one? Then we'll both be wrong. We were a little high.
would that surprise you?
Yes, that would surprise me if they didn't win another
one. Me too.
Because I think they're getting better. I think they're getting better. And they play hard. That matters. If they could just...
There's no chance they're losing the Texans. That's not happening.
You would think not.
But they already have once.
Yeah, but that was
the first game of the year for the coach and the quarterback on the road. I mean, that's tough.
It counts.
I just think that they're getting better on defense, and whatever they are on offense, they're limited. Period. End of story. You can't do anything with it.
And if they have a good special teams day, you still have that, you know, they've scored a couple, you know, on long ones on special teams this year. You haven't had in a few weeks, been a little while, but that's a possibility at some point.
So, JP, how many games do you think they're going to win?
I said they're already sweeping the AFC East, so they're going to beat the Jets and the Patriots.
That's not the question. How many more games are they going to win?
That's two. I think they can get the 49ers this week. I think they can get the Falcons. Four. I'm going to give them four. And the Texans,
they're not gonna beat
4-5.
They're not going to beat the Texans.
I'll give them the Texans, not the Falcons. So four.
So you're saying the same thing we're all saying.
Four. Yeah, I think it's four.
So
and then if the Colts,
here's
like
the other
said,
thing
Colts
to look at as we go through this thing: how many games have they actually been blown to smithereens and had no chance of winning?
The Seahawks.
Yep.
Week one.
Week one. Two. I mean, really, the Titans game. I mean, they came back late, but I mean, with a kickoff return or whatever. That's three.
The Cardinals game ended up different. I mean, it was 31-19.
Yeah, but they were in that game, and they were leading in the third quarter. They weren't really blown out of that game.
That's right. They were blown out in the second half.
The Titans game. Tony's right. That was. They were handled that game.
Titans. So only a couple.
So what? Three.
Three total. Three of nine.
Yeah.
And so that says something too, I think. So, but again, they're getting better, particularly on defense. They're better. I don't think they're going to get better on offense until they get receivers in there. So, should we start going through the receivers? Did you watch Ohio State's receivers on Saturday? I think those two guys could walk in and start right now. They got three of them.
Hey, let's come back in a moment. We're going to keep it real when we return.
Your favorite. Where's my case?
It's on the mail. They just called me. They told me it's on their way. Don't worry about it. You have your Christmas presents to give everybody else.
Jaguars Game Day Radio is brought to you by ViStar Credit Union. Do good, bank better. And this is Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network.
Jacksonville Sports Talk for Jacksonville sports fans. 1010XL. Home of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Welcome back. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on a Monday afternoon after a Week 10 loss for the Jaguars to the Indianapolis Colts. And it's time now for Keeping It Real, presented by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. Open up a winner today. Real Ingredients, award-winning wine by Robert Mondavi. Well, we touched on this a little earlier, but we're going to go back to it here. Offensive line play, taking a lot of heat on social media. Tony, how is it?
I'll say this. If you were giving me a list of offensive issues, the offensive line would be at the bottom. Meaning, right now, it's playing more consistent than any other group. Like, if you're saying, okay, who's playing at the higher level and consistently at the higher level, is it quarterback, running back, offensive line or wide receivers. And I'll lump in tight ends with the – or put tight ends as a separate group too. And I'm just saying right now it's the offensive line. It's the most consistent, best group.
Can I – to help solidify that and to get you a little angry, can I give you some PFF grades from yesterday?
Love it.
All right. Number one ranked offensive player was Cam Robinson.
Oh,
yeah, that didn't surprise me. Yeah.
All right. Number three offensive player, Ben Bartsch.
Ben's who called it? Who nailed
you did.
It weeks ago?
You did.
Weeks ago, said
you did.
Ben Bartsch.
It was only about 3 weeks ago. Don't get a little ahead of yourself.
Weeks ago.
It might even have been last week when you guaranteed the victory.
It was weeks ago.
Then Andrew Norwell, sixth best, and I think that grade's a little too high. I didn't think he was very good in pass protection. Juwan Taylor, the eighth best, and Tyler Shatley, 11th best. So you had, of the top eight players, you had four offensive linemen in it on Sunday. So there, that solidified. I mean, not that their grades are accurate all the time, but that lends you.
No, but I'm just saying, if you watch the tape.
Yeah, they've
I'm not saying it's perfect. Very few offensive lines are. You know, but they're playing. Are they playing good enough to win football games? Yes.
Okay, and this is a question. So does this mean the end of Linder and Cam in Jacksonville?
I think Cam probably. Linder. It'll be a pricing question. Because I think this is his last year of this deal, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he might be a free agent after this year.
I think he's got next year, doesn't he?
I don't know. But either way, if he has one more year, it'll be a big number. If he doesn't, he's a free agent. Either way, they're going to ask the question, you know.
Yeah, he's on the books for next year.
Yeah. And
what's his number?
$10 million cap hit.
But let me see what releasing him would do. They don't save anything. They'd save the whole thing if they release him. There's no amortization or anything. So he could go.
Well, remember, you have a bunch of cap space already. And so you need his cap space. And I think I'll say this. I would be in no hurry to release him because let's see what you do in the draft. You know, let's see what else you have out there. Are you comfortable with Casey McDermott as your backup to Shatley? I mean, there's a lot.
Do you think there's much difference between Shatley and Linder?
I think Linder's a little bit better of a pass blocker.
I would agree. But run game, probably Shatley's right there with him, right?
Yeah, I think just as good.
So $10 million, and Shatley's contract is minimal.
Yeah.
Not that they need to save money, but why pay a guy?
Well, because you want to make sure you have depth. You don't want to.
He's also coming off injury.
Well, that's the other question. I mean, he's been injured quite a bit lately. So I think those are all things you have to evaluate. But, I mean, at the same time, I don't think you're in a position to get rid of good solid football players either.
He'll only be 30.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, are you really ready to get rid of him? Now, do I think you need to pay him $10 million a year? Do I think anyone else is going to pay him $10 million a year?
Tony Boselli, Jaguars general manager, what would you do?
I'm going to keep him on the roster until I get through the offseason, see what else is out there, and see what.
Okay, you get through the offseason and you have a choice to bring him back with Chatley. Do you bring him back?
Do I need his money to go sign anyone else?
Well, you might.
Well, I need to know that. I mean, I got to evaluate.
But you're not going to bring him back at $10 million no matter what, is what you're saying.
Well, I probably – basically, I would go to him and say, let's say I can't get a young player or anyone out in free agency or in the draft. I'd go back to him and say, hey, I want to extend you. I want to do a 3-year deal instead of paying you 10 next year. Let's do 3 years, you know, 20 million, you know, and I'll guarantee you 12 of it or something. You know, you do something like that. Like, so you lessen the cap number, you know, you spread it out, you get him until he's in his mid 30s.
Don't forget, you got to pay the left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to pay him a bunch of money, and you should pay him right now. He's playing, he deserves it.
I agree. I would pay him. I didn't think I would be saying that, but I would pay him.
Yeah. I think you have to. But I would pay him. I would also say, hey, I want to do a 3-year deal. Pay him 3 years, $60 million guaranteed.
He ain't going to do that.
Well, how much is he going to get on the open market?
To bed. The NFL offensive lines, don't you see him every week?
Yeah. Well, here's – okay. That's a good point. I mean, you got to look at what Well, the one thing I would do is I'd franchise him. So now you take away some of his leverage. And so I could play this franchise game, because last year's franchise game was only $13 million. So now you franchise again, let's say it's $17 million. Okay, I'll just keep on doing this until.
Right. And, and you know, look, Orlando Brown will be on the market. He's a better left tackle than Orlando Brown is.
I thought Orlando Brown.
No, he's got one more year. They didn't sign his extension. He didn't sign him to an extension.
Oh, the Chiefs didn't? I thought sure about that, Pete? I thought in the
trade. Yeah, I looked the other day. No.
I thought they extended him.
No. Look at his contract. Mm.
They gave him a first rounder for him. I know that.
He's got – his contract expires at the end of this year.
Oh, I mean, Cam's a way better player than he is.
Way better.
Way better. I mean, yeah, I'm taking Cam all day long over him.
Like, I think Brown's a right tackle.
I don't think he is. I know he is. Okay, let's talk through left tackles right now in the NFL. Mm. Where does Cam Robinson rank?
Oof.
So,
He's not as good as Trent Williams, but Trent Williams is 180 too.
Hold on, I'm not. Why are we going all the way to Trent Williams? Let's go. Let's just start here. Let's start in the South.
Okay.
AFC South. I will argue right now Cam Robinson's the best left tackle in the AFC South.
Okay, so he's better than Lawan, yes.
Yep.
He's better than Tunsil.
Derek Fisher. Yes. He's more physical than Tunsil. He's a better run blocker than Tunsil.
Okay, and Tunsil's better all the time.
Okay, let's go to the AFC West. He's better than Garrett Bowles. He's better than Orlando Brown. He's better
than – you wouldn't take him over than Slater. Nope. Although Slater's play has decreased a little bit the last couple weeks.
I still like Slater. Okay, I'll say this. It's a coin toss between Slater and him. I mean, but I would probably take Slater just because he's younger and cheaper. He's younger and cheaper, so I take him.
Okay, and then you get to
the Raiders.
Yeah, Colton Miller.
Okay.
Steelers have a rookie left tackle. No. Bengals have Jonah Williams. No.
Browns.
Would you take Wills over him?
That's close. Wills is he's good. Okay.
Wills.
And he's cheaper, but it's close. Okay.
The Ravens, you would take him over Villanueva. He stinks.
Yes. Okay.
So you have one definite and a project in Slater who's you take.
Yeah, 50-50.
There's two.
I'm not taking Miami's. I'm not taking Buffalo's. I'm not taking.
You would consider. Courtney Glenn's as good as. I'm not Courtney Glenn.
Deion Dawkins.
Deion Dawkins is as good as.
This year, the way they're playing, I'm taking Cam.
They're about the same. Come on.
Okay, I'm putting Slater ahead. I'm putting Dawkins behind. I'll get to my point here in a second. Yeah. Buffalo, no. Patriots, no. And the Jets.
And the Jets. Becton, when he's there.
No, I'm taking – Becton's not consistent. Go watch him, Pete.
But he's also played a year – not even a full year of games.
I'm taking Cam. My point is, Cam is he's the second or third best left tackle in the AFC. Go to the NFC now. I'm making a point.
He might be the second or third best left tackle in the AFC.
Yeah.
But by the way, where'd JP go?
I'm right here. I'm still listening.
Okay, because we're getting into the conversation.
I'm enjoying this.
JP, so two or three. Let's go to the NFC.
Okay, NFC. He's better than the Giants. He's better than the –
Who has a second-year player, so that kid's going to be good.
It doesn't matter. You don't know that. I'm just saying he's better. He's better than the Eagles. He's better than the
Washington.
Washington football team.
Yes.
And he's better than
– Not better than Dallas. He's not better than Dallas.
Okay, fine. I'll give Tyron – but Tyron Smith has been hurt up. But, okay, I'm fine. Okay, let's go to the South now. He's better than Jake Matthews.
Yes.
He's better than –
He's not better than Armstead.
Okay, there's two. I would say he's – Donovan Smith, he's as better or good – better than Donovan
Smith. Same. In the ballpark.
Okay, same. And – who's the other one? Who are we missing in that league?
Carolina, that's terrible. It's Cam.
No, terrible. So it's two. Okay. He's better than the okay, not Trent Williams. He's not as good as Trent Williams.
He's not better than Whitworth.
Right now, yes. I'm taking him over Whitworth. Go watch Whitworth.
Like younger.
Okay, go watch him, Pete. When they get stuck playing drop back football, what happens?
He's not better than Whitworth, but go ahead, keep going.
Okay, he's better than the he's better than Seattle's guy right now, who's playing terrible, Dwayne
yes.
Brown.
He's better than the Niners guy, too.
He's better than Niners guy, okay.
No, Trent Williams is Niners guy. You're better than the Arizona guy. He's better than Arizona.
And then we're going, what's the other division? One last. Oh, Green Bay. He's better than Green Bay's right now because Bakhtiari's out.
He's better than Elton Jenkins. Elton Jenkins is a good left tackle. He's a guard, but he's played good at left tackle. But Bakhtiari, whoever plays there is better than him, whoever it is. Bakhtiari's better
than
him.
Okay, I'll give you that's four. So that's four guys. He's better than the Bears. He's better than the
And the Vikings got a rookie.
And he's better than the Vikings and he's equal to Decker at the Lions. He's equal. They're the same. My point is
he's a top 10. He's a top 8, 10 tackle.
That's all my point is. You pay that guy. Pay that man his money. He's top 10, top 8 in his position.
You would have had him pay Luke Jokel a second contract.
That's not true. You're a liar.
JP, why are you spinning the football? That was a good segment.
Let me get my feet off the table. I was resting while I was listening to this conversation.
My point is, Cam Robinson, who I questioned whether they should franchise him this year, I was hesitant to do what they did. And because I wondered, would he show up after he got paid? He's a better player after getting paid than he was before he got paid.
He hasn't exactly got paid. He got a franchise tag. So now he's got to go play again. Sure. But he got to go play again. He's playing for the next deal or for the you're wrong. He hasn't been paid yet.
Would I pay him?
I tag him and try and negotiate a deal to my liking again, like you said.
Me too. Same thing I would do. That's why. Follow me, Pete. I'll take you where we need to go.
No,
you guys follow me. I'll take you where we need to go tonight. We'll need to come back and get to social media questions. That was Keeping It Real by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. Open up a winner today. Real Ingredients, award-winning wine by Robert Mondavi. 30 minutes left of this one tonight. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network.
Let the Jaguars listen to 1010XL, home of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Welcome back. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on a Monday afternoon. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. Glad you're along with us. After the Jaguars fell to the Colts in Week 10, 23-17, it's time for social media questions. And Tony, I must say, you look really excited for this segment.
I'm ready.
He loves it.
Okay.
He loves it, JP.
I know he does.
I was on Twitter actually looking at the questions, JP. That's what I was scanning. I was doing pre-segment work.
You're researching. I like that. Let's get to it then. We put out the bat signal earlier. Here's the best we came up with. At Zach Bierman, what percentage of Trevor's struggles to this point are on him, and what percentage is on the wide receivers and offensive coordinator?
I think it's 43.7643 on him, and
I can't wait to hear the other number. I can't wait to hear the other percentage.
Right, I can't wait.
53.23645 on Daryl Bevel.
That doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't. But what did you? So you put it on the receivers, or on him and the what do you put it on?
So I'll give you a right. Here's the answer. I put 10% on the offensive line. I put 15% on the quarterbacks. I mean on the tight ends. I put 5% on the running back. I put 20% on the quarterback, and I put 25% on the receivers and 25% on the coach. I think it's 100%. People add it up.
All right, I put more on the wide receivers. I'd put more on the coach. I'd probably go 30 and 30 I'd probably go 35 and 25 because I think the receivers are the main problem. And then offensive line, probably 10, like you said, tight ends, I mean, yeah, I guess recently, though, it's hard to put it on Arnold.
Right. He's playing fine. He's been good.
So I'd probably go 5% on them. And then the staff for who they hired. Put the rest on. On the head coach. I mean, it's a bad offense. It's a bad offense. And I will say this. I think there will be major changes to the offense after the season. Major.
How?
Nobody's told me that. Huh?
Like how?
New offense, new coordinator, whole new thing.
He thinks there'll be changes at the coaching levels. What are you saying, JP?
I heard that, yes.
And draft a wide receiver.
And sign one in free agency.
No, there isn't anything in free agency worth a damn.
Still going to sign.
You're not getting Devontae Adams.
All right, draft
two. Would you trade two first rounders for Devontae Adams?
No. Would you?
I would, yeah.
No.
Wow. By the way, your first two numbers. Oh, yeah, what? Why, Pete?
Two? I might trade one and something else.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Would you trade your first and second rounder, both are going to be top 10 in the round, next year to the Packers with Devontae Adams?
Is he also going to morph into a guy who can rush the pass or two?
No, I'm just asking you the question, Pete.
First, no, I would not. I
would.
Because you're going to have to pay him the highest, make him the highest paid receiver in the league, too.
Fine. You immediately.
Yeah, you know what?
He's young.
He's not young.
Well, how old is he? 26, 27?
I think he's older than that.
He's older than that.
No.
Yeah, he is. He's 28. So. Yeah. He's 28. He's going to be 29. He'll be 29 in December.
Okay, he has a good 5 years left in him.
JP, would you do that?
One first round pick or two?
Or would you rather have Devontae Adams or draft a guy like Garrett Wilson in the first round and come back and get another one in the second round?
I'll tell you what, Garrett Wilson looked pretty damn good last Saturday.
From Ohio State.
Ohio State kid, number five.
So would you take Garrett? Okay, who's going to be better for the next 3 years, Garrett Wilson or Devontae Adams?
Devontae Adams, but you also don't have anybody else. If you get another one in the second round, you get two.
So you
they need more receivers? Than one. They need more than one. They need three.
So the first three picks in the draft are all receivers?
No.
Two are from Ohio State, one's from Alabama. They're all former Ohio State guys. Why not? Bring them all.
Which Alabama kid would you take? Would
Jameson,
you take one?
Jameson Williams. Speed That's who burner, I would take. Deep ball guy.
I'll say this.
Went to Ohio Number State. One. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll say this. I probably wouldn't make the trade. I didn't know Devontae Adams was 29 next year. For some reason,
not next year. He's going to be 29 next month.
Well, that's what I mean. Next season, he'll be 29 years old.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make that trade. That's old. That's getting up there. So I would,
You draft a wide receiver, though.
Who's the best young wide receiver?
What do you mean?
Like Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase?
Yeah. Oh.
Would you call Minnesota and say, we'll give you a first and a second for Justin Jefferson?
Yes.
They wouldn't do it, would they?
They wouldn't do it.
No, of course not.
Would you give two first rounders for Justin Jefferson?
I think about it. That quarterback needs that.
Wow. By the way,
it used to be you didn't need that guy. You need that guy now.
Because here's the thing, Pete. Let me ask you a question. Who won the Jalen Ramsey trade?
The Rams did.
Yeah, we got the two players we got were C.J. Henderson and what's his name? The 45.
C.J. Henderson or Chaison. Was it Chaisson?
Chaisson and C.J. Henderson.
Both of them.
We got the two.
Yeah.
Those are the two first rounders.
Yeah.
Oh no! Yeah. No, that's I'm sorry. Different year. So we got. It was who's the year before we got? It was Chaisson. Who's the year before we picked?
It was this year. It was a running back.
It was ETN.
Oh,
yeah. ETN and Chaisson. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. ETN and Chaisson. Who won?
The Rams did. Who would you go sign Chris Godwin?
Is Chris Godwin a number one, Pete?
That's a good question. That's what I mean. He's going to be Here's who the receiver is going to be on the market. Davante Adams. If you could get him as a free agent, but he won't come here. You get Allen Robinson. No.
Yeah.
Chris Godwin.
How fast is Chris Godwin?
He's not a burner.
He's pretty good, though.
He is pretty good.
And how much you pay him?
They get some speed. They can bring back – here, they can really upgrade the receiving core. They can bring back Allen Robinson and Keelan Cole.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
They're both unrestricted.
A homecoming.
My brain hurts, dude.
A homecoming.
I would take a long look at Chris Godwin. How about this? How about going and get a young guy in the first round and Chris Godwin? Because everything I hear about Chris Godwin is he's a pro.
He's a great kid. He's a great kid. So you get Godwin and you draft Garrett Wilson. All of a sudden your receivers are – because anybody – then you can fit the third one in, whoever it is.
That's right. And your Keenan Cole is your third.
Will DJ Chark come back on a one-year deal?
Oof. I don't have a choice, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, anywhere is going to have to, right?
There you go. Bring him back.
Oh, let's move along. By the way,
they have a cornerback they can convert to wide receiver to start.
By the way, Tony, the first two numbers of the percentages you threw out add up to 97.00075. So that's not 100.
Dang it. Well, the other 2.00054 I give to the tight ends.
Okay, let's move along.
Gave something? Are you just throwing up, piling on the tight end?
Yeah, just piling it on. Why not? Just like Pete does all the time. Question number two. On social media, at John Rowall, what changes would you make on offense to help with Trevor's development the second half of the season? Pete, I feel like this one's just set up for you.
I would get those receivers to do more bunch and picks and rubs and stuff. Get them free. They can't win in ISOs. They're not ISO route receivers. They can't win. We've seen that. Okay, it's halfway. At halftime, we were halfway through the season, and we still know they can't win. So do something to get them free. Get creative.
You know, I'm so tired of hearing Pete talk about bunch, rubs, picks, and everything else. Do it just so Pete shuts up. How about that?
Yeah, that'd be
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, but even you admit you're hearing it more and more in that town, too. And people around the league say the same thing. They're very predictable.
You know, people around town are saying that Pete's talking about it too much. You know, I don't know.
That's
people are
true.
People are saying, Tony. I hear that a lot, Tony. I don't know. People
and I get it on Twitter how smart I am because they all agree with me.
Pete, that's not what I get. I hear like, hey, has Pete gained weight and he's not very smart. That's what I get. Those are the two I get.
No, one of the two is accurate.
I said,
just like you, 360.
No. I get a lot. Does Pete have like a little turkey? What's that thing? Turkey neck going? Little beard.
Turkey. All I know is
moving. It's moving.
All I know is 3 weeks ago, you told me you were on a diet.
I am. I'm starting Monday.
No, like 3 weeks ago, you said you were on a diet, and that was it. It was over with. Okay. It was done with.
I got a challenge for you.
Okay. No, I'm done. It's fat ball season. I got no challenges during fat ball season.
Who can lose the most weight between now and Super Bowl Sunday?
No. Let's do this.
Why? No.
Who will lose the most weight by now and your induction ceremony?
Well, that could be. When's that going to be?
That could be like 30 years, Pete.
I didn't want to say it. I was letting Tony say it.
I might not be around for that.
He's digging a hole again for you, Pete. I don't know.
No. That'll be next summer.
Okay, so how are we going to – we got to weigh in. I'm in.
I'm not weighing in. I don't want to weigh in. We'll weigh in.
You don't want to weigh in? Oh, wait a minute. Hey. What's that? I'll weigh in. Like, you're not going to do it, Pete?
If Baselli doesn't get in, I go on a hunger strike.
Oh, gosh. I don't want to talk about that right now.
No, I do. It's just starting to get – we're starting to build momentum. We're building momentum.
Let's get the next question. Next question.
Look, he always dodges this.
He does. He deflects, parries that punch away. Let's get to it. One more question on social media. That's all we got time for. At Destin Ray, What is the number one glaring need for this team in the – let's not do this question. We already answered all this stuff. What's the number one glaring need? Will Tony lock the game? We've already talked about the glaring need as receivers, and yes, he's locked the game. This is at Duval underscore 24. After making some –
I didn't lock the game. I locked that they're going to win four games.
Yeah, he didn't lock the game.
I thought you did. I thought you locked the Niners game.
No,
you counted that as one of the four. You counted that as one of the four.
I got four games no matter.
No, you didn't lock it. But I think you should lock it.
Yeah,
I'm not locking it. No.
You said everything's in their favor. Three time zones, 1 o'clock game, short
week. Urban might punch you.
Yeah, he might.
Okay, fine. You know what? Lock it.
Oh, it's a lock.
Right now.
You know, if the 49ers go out tonight and destroy the Rams, he's going to be like, oh, no, what did I do?
Where's the key? Let's unlock this. All right, our next question at Duval underscore 24. After making scheme adjustments, this defense is much improved. What grade will you give them now? Who would you pound the table for them to re-sign for 22? I never miss this show, and I hope you keep it going for years to come. Thank you. You're welcome.
I don't know. I got 10 more to go because Tony killed me at 10. Remember? A couple weeks ago, he said I wasn't going to make it to 10.
Right.
Okay, there's a lot of questions in there. Who would you bring?
Number one, they simplified stuff in the back half. I think that's the biggest thing. And I think they got more aggressive, and Josh Allen's playing better. I mean, bottom line is he's playing good football. Who am I signing?
Who are you pounding it to? Yeah.
Josh Allen. I would sign him early as you can. You got to bring him back. You can't let Josh Allen walk out of this building ever.
Okay, but you'll franchise tag Cam Robinson and re-sign Josh Allen.
This is only Josh Allen's third year, so you have him for two more years.
Right.
So you let him play next year in his rookie deal, and then you go lock him up.
Then you go lock him up during the season. Yeah.
So, like
– You can't sign him off.
Like, who's on defense that becomes free agent this year? Taven can go. I love him. I mean, it's great. He's playing better football, but I mean, I'm not going to pound the table for Taven.
No, but if you got him on a veteran minimum deal or something with some incentives,
I'll take him.
Who on defense? Nobody.
He's free.
Nobody.
You don't have to pound the table for anybody. They're all back.
Welcome back. There you have it. Our social questions are in. We'll come back in a moment. We'll look around the league in week number 10. Here's some radio calls and wrap it up. This is Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network.
Dempsey and Fat Tony, Jaguars Today. All Jaguars, all NFL, all the time. 10 to noon weekdays on 1010XL.
Welcome back. It's Jaguars Happy Hour. After a Week 10 loss for the Jaguars, J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Baselli. Pete, we were talking about receivers a moment ago and the draft guys and all that. Think about Jameson Williams at Alabama. Couldn't get on the field at Ohio State. He played in the playoff last year, but that was it. I mean, he wasn't out there a whole lot. Those guys are so good at Ohio State.
He wasn't exactly on the field all the time for Alabama early in the year either.
No, he was. Yeah, he was. Absolutely. From day one. Absolutely. He had a 94-yard in the first game.
He didn't play as much as some of them other guys did, though.
He had a 94-yard touchdown in the first game.
Are you really questioning JP, who knows all things Crimson Tide?
He was on the field all day against Miami. What are you talking about?
JP.
JP.
Yes.
The other guy was the lead receiver when the season started.
John Metchie was. I'm with you on that. But Williams was out there. It wasn't like he wasn't playing. He was playing. He was getting the ball, too. Anyway, he couldn't get on the field at Ohio State. That's how good those three guys are at Ohio State. That's my point. So we'll see. Ohio State might score 60 this week against Michigan State. They have the worst pass defense in football. Let's go.
Question on the receivers in next year. I mean, like, let's assume we pick. If we win six games, we'll pick 10. 9, 10, 11.
They're not winning six games, so they'll pick 6 or 7 or 8, something like that.
Will those top receivers be there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
And you got to get one who can run. You know that.
Got to run. Got to be able to run.
You don't want a slow guy? You're saying don't get a guy who can't run?
Well, we've seen slow guys get picked in the first round, and they haven't worked out.
Yeah, you can't do that.
It's not ideal. Let's go around the National Football League, get to some calls. Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys hammering the Falcons. The Cowboys open the scoring. Prescott DeLamb, a 13-yarder. Brad Sham with the call on the Dallas Cowboys radio network in 105.3, The Fan in Dallas.
Prescott in the gun, pointing, maybe changing something. One receiver split wide right, back to throw, looking left, looking, throwing into the end zone for Lamb. On the left side of the end zone, leaping, caught it, touchdown Cowboys.
That got him going. They didn't slow down at all, Pete.
Yeah, that was the Falcons made a really weird decision. It was 7-3, and they had a 4th-and-7, and they could have kicked a 49-yard field goal, I think it was, with a good kicker, and they went for it. Well, they got stopped. It was an incomplete pass. And on the very next play, or next drive, they went right down the field and got it, made it 14-3. The game was over. These guys are out of control with this stuff sometimes now.
What Cowboy team are we going to get? I mean, it's like, is it the team who played the Broncos and got just killed, or is it the team that killed the Falcons? Who are they?
Well, know a little bit this week. They play the Chiefs in Arrowhead this week.
It's a great matchup.
First one to 40 wins.
Patriots over the Browns, big 45-7. The Bills hammered the Jets, 45-17.
Stay at the Patriots. Watch out, because here come the Patriots. They have a really good
defense. It's his best coaching job ever right now.
He's a great coach. They got a rookie quarterback. Like,
they make it easy on the rookie quarterback, too, by the way. They really do. Mac Jones, Jacksonville kid. Smart, accurate, and they make it easier.
By the way, Pete, it's not like he has a bunch of weapons running around out at the receiver position that you're like,
but they scheme them up. They know how to scheme them up.
I'm just telling you, they're good. That's fun. That's exciting. I'm happy for Mac Jones.
Lions and Steelers play to a 16-16 tie after overtime. Pat Freiermuth fumbled in the final seconds of overtime. Dan Miller had the call. Courtesy of WXYTFM 97.1, The Ticket, and the Detroit Lions Radio Network.
Mason Rudolph leans in. He's got it. Throws the out pattern to Freiermuth. He loses the football. It's free on the ground. It is the Lions football. The Lions picked it up again. The second forced fumble in overtime, and they come out of there with it. The Lions have got the football with 8 seconds left, recovered by Trey Flowers.
Might have been one of the ugliest overtimes ever, Pete.
Well, I mean, people act like the Steelers would have won the game if he didn't fumble. They had to kick a long field goal even after that. It would have been a long one. I mean, there's no guarantee in that place. It's hard to kick in that place.
Yeah.
That they're
and
gonna
it was
make
wet,
it. So.
And it was rainy and sloppy.
That was gross. It was gross. It was a gross game, ugly game. It deserved the end of the tie.
Titans over the Saints, 23-21. Washington over the Buccaneers. What happened to the Bucs, Pete, quickly?
You know, it's funny, early in that game, Tommy was a little jumpy. When he starts getting jumpy, got pressure on the inside, he starts throwing balls all over the place. He didn't play well. They didn't play well.
Hey, Pete, what happened to the Saints? You told me the Saints were going to beat the Titans. The Titans are the best team in all of football right now.
Are they the best team in all of football?
Yes.
I picked the Titans to win that game, by the way. I just said the Saints would be close, and it was. So they lost by two.
Last week on this show, you said the Saints would win.
I said they have a chance to win. I didn't lock anything like some.
Let's move along. Panthers over the Cardinals. Cam Newton in the game in the first quarter and in the end zone. Nick Mixon on the Carolina Panthers radio network.
6'5", 245 pounds, three-time Pro Bowler Cam Newton. McCaffrey swings out of the backfield wide to the right. Newton's going to run right. In the grass, breaks a tackle. McCaffrey, Newton, everybody celebrating. Touchdown right side.
First play, a touchdown. Cam Newton.
He's got his helmet off and he's pumped.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, he's yelling with his helmet off after the touchdown. He's back, Pete.
Yeah, I like that. I'm back. And you know what? He's starting this week. He's their starting quarterback. From here on out, he will be their starting quarterback. And they got a good defense.
He's really back, and he cost him 15 yards on that play.
Right. Would you be mad?
No.
No.
Good
I
point.
Would not.
Vikings over the Chargers, 27-20. The Eagles over the Broncos, 30-13. The Eagles defense got in on the act. Ooh. Darius Slay, fumble return for a score. Mel Reese on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Under center this time is Bridgewater with Melvin Gordon behind him. Fourth and one. He gives to Gordon, and Gordon is knocked down. Football comes loose. Eagles come up with it. Slay picks it up. Slay running with the ball. And Slay takes off to the far side of the field, to the 30, to the 40. Slay running away from people. Slay at the 40, the 30, the 20, 10, 5, touchdown, I think, Darius Slay.
It counted 83 yards, Eagles win.
Well, I mean, it counted because Teddy Bridgewater, what was Teddy Bridgewater doing? Did you see it?
Yes, he just,
what would you do as a player if you saw that the next day?
I would say something like, what are you doing, dude? Like, throw yourself in there.
Right.
First of all, you're not Tom Brady. Like, you're not Teddy Bridgewater. Like, make a play. Because the game was still in doubt. It's not like.
Yeah, it was 20. They were going in to tie it when he fumbled. It was fourth down. They were going in to tie it.
Right. If that's like the end, you're down 21 at the end of the game. Right. I get it. Right. Get out of the way.
Right.
You're quarterback.
Right.
But, like, we're still in the game. By the way, you tackle him at midfield. We get a three and out. We get the ball back.
Right. Bad play.
That was embarrassing.
I agree.
Final couple scores. Packers over the Seahawks. First shutout of the Seahawks in 10 years. The Chiefs over the Raiders, 41-14. Time for Monday Night Football. Tonight, the L.A. Rams at 7-2 get Von Miller for the first time on defense. They'll visit Santa Clara. And the San Francisco 49ers at 3-5 will get an early live scouting report. Who you got tonight, Pete?
I got the Rams. It's going to be bad. That's a bad 49ers offensive line. The right tackle is going to be making his first start this week. Ooh. McGlinchey's out. Tom Compton might not be there. So they got problems.
What, Pete? What happens if what is the 49ers record right now?
They got three wins.
3-5.
Listen. What if they end up 6-11?
There's problems because you're hearing rumblings that there's some issues between Kyle and John Lynch. They have issues. There's issues.
Who goes first, Lynch or Kyle?
John Lynch goes.
Wow. Wow. There you have it. Monday Night Football is in. Pete, have a great week. We'll talk to you.
All right, guys. Take care.
You too. Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco, our entire crew, Joe Fortunato, Brent Reber. That'll do it for our show. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll catch you next time. It's Jaguars Happy Hour on the Jaguars Digital Network.